Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
With my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, the People's Republic of China at the New Year, we welcome Ann Stevenson Yang, author of Wild Ride, the story of the Chinese miracle up and the Chinese miracle down, which is the direction that it is now intended. The headline from the Financial Times in these last days, Xi has a plan for retaliating against Trump's gamesmanship. I mention that, retaliation is the operative word there, because there's more news about China that is not encouraging, that the Chinese economy is quite troubled even without Mr. Trump's remarks. For example, China's currency hit 16-month low on Trump tariff fears, renminbi under pressure from stronger dollar and concerns about incoming U.S. president's trade plans. In addition, there is a strange program underway in China to repurchase or give you credit for a returned rice cooker, refrigerator, or stove. The intention here is to encourage consumerism, which is the missing component of a healthy economy. And I'll stop there because there are other negative headlines. So retaliation by Xi for conduct by Trump. But it would appear, if I subtract all that out of these headlines, China has troubles despite Mr. Trump. Is that correct? Good day to you, Anne.
Good day, John. Yes, I think it has quite deep economic stagnation, and the Trump tariffs that are threatened are sort of the least of its worries.
Least of its worries, as in that consumerism. Do I have it right that their consumers are super cautious and super savers, and even a discount on a returned rice cooker is not likely to get them shopping?
You know, that isn't really particularly relevant to consumerism in China. What would be relevant would be delivering more of GDP into the consumer's pocket rather than giving it to corporations. But that's something that's very difficult for the Chinese government to do. So they rely on this sort of subsidy program.
I mentioned that the Chinese markets, the stock markets on the mainland and the Hong Kong market, have been in a tailspin since the first of the year. But those are smaller parts of the economy. Gordon, you have a comment about this word retaliation in the face of the declining Chinese economy. It would appear that Mr. Trump is not profoundly a change of direction, that China is struggling and that no amount of tough talk is going to reverse it. What is your opinion, Gordon?
Well, Xi Jinping has set China on a course that really has very little chance of succeeding. As Anne suggested, he's turned his back on consumption to be the fundamental basis of the economy. He is emphasizing manufacturing and exports, which means he's put his fate into the hands of one Donald John Trump and others across the world who are, you know, who may not keep their markets open to Chinese products. We don't know where Trump is going to go on tariffs, but the point is that Xi Jinping is now held hostage to policies in foreign capitals. And that's got to be an uncomfortable place for the Chinese leadership.
In a conversation yesterday with colleague Judy Dempsey, who is Carnegie Endowment in Berlin, Judy allowed the fact that it's no longer a secret that the European Union, all the capitals plus Brussels, regard Russia and China as hostile, something that Judy identifies as fresh, that there's a uniform opinion. So retaliation against the United States would appear from Judy's reporting to be inadequate because Europe also now regards China as an interloper. Is that correct, Gordon?
I think that that is correct. Europe is coming around slowly, and that's for a number of reasons, especially the way the European Union is structured and because of just general Western hopes. But I think China has pushed everyone too far, including Brussels.
You have a question for Anne.
Anne, you mentioned that Trump's tariffs are the least of Xi Jinping's worries. What do you think is the greatest of his worries?
Well, what it should be is the real estate market. China has spent so much money creating so many empty apartments, and demand clearly isn't there to meet it. And it's been up to 25% or more of the economy until about 2018, 2019. And now it's just shrinking really fast. And I don't think there's anything they can do about that.
The blacklist, as I understand it, Tencent is now on the prescription list for contributing to the Chinese military. Also, there's a headline from the Financial Times. This is the European Financial Times. I emphasize why I'm counting on it to deliver the news is that, as Gordon says, the Europeans have been very, very slow to recognize China as a threat. This headline, Pentagon backlisting of China's EV battery maker puts U.S. banks in bind. Involvement in Hong Kong's secondary listing of this stock raises reputational risk for Wall Street groups. And it would appear that it isn't just Mr. Trump who now suspects all Chinese conduct to be malign. That's a generality. Does it hold up?
It's a generality. I think that actually the Western view of China in Europe and in the United States as well has swung far, far away from where it was 10 years ago. And now even the mention of China's name is considered a risk. That's a problem for Xi Jinping and the Chinese. It's one that I really don't know how anyone is going to resolve.
Gordon, this isn't about TikTok anymore. When they get into Tencent, isn't that a giant?
Tencent is a giant. It has been a company which has been extremely successful. It had for a long time flown under the radar as we focused in on companies like Alibaba. But Tencent really had the right idea about how to grow and was under great management. So it has grown to be a giant.
And this prescription by the United States, is that a blow to Tencent?
I think it is a blow. I mean, we saw the decline in its stock market price on the announcement. But remember, this wasn't a major sanction. This was just being put on the Pentagon's blacklist, which is only reputational in a sense because it has very few practical consequences apart from the stock market drop.
You have a question for Anne Gordon.
And, when you look at the Chinese bureaucracy, the technocrats, I've always assumed that they know what to do, but they're being prevented by Xi Jinping to doing it. I'm not sure that's correct anymore, but in any sense, what is your sense of where the technocrats are in all of this?
I think everybody, everyone goes to the same meetings and has presentations from the same economists. And intellectually, I'm sure that they accept that the idea that, consumerism has to be boosted. But we all live within constraints of the political economy. And in the Chinese political economy, consumerism is just not something that is possible to increase. All you can really do is direct subsidies to companies so that they can make products cheaper, and then it can look like consumers are buying the products or that you're raising consumption because more products are moving.
And Stevenson Yang, author of Wild Ride, China's Short-Lived Experiment in Capitalism. Gordon Chang, I'm John Batchelor.